we take you in fancy to one of the most famous institutions of its kind, the World Adventurers Club. Here we meet men who have braved every danger that the world has to offer, men who have battled the polar seas and the tropical jungle. It is the custom of this club to hold a series of informal meetings in which one member is called upon to tell the most thrilling experience of his career. And now, the World Adventurers Club extends a cordial invitation to you to draw up your chair and hear a story of the Royal Road to Adventure.
Back in France long years ago, a great cathedral rose. Built of faith, its message down through all the ages goes. Large bronze bells were hung with care in the tower's high above. And today they still toll clear their tale of faith and love. Ring out, sing out, what a bell of the club.
Adventurous Club. Tonight, gentlemen, it's my privilege to point an accusing finger at one of you and say, tonight you tell us of your strange adventure in a strange land.
Yeah, that's right. Who gets the call?
And now I'm going to call upon Captain Alexander Hale of the North Pole and all points south.
Come on, no stalling.
Well, gentlemen, I've spent my share of time north of the Arctic Circle. I've never been in Africa. I've never seen a cannibal. I've never hunted elephants or tigers. But I believe I can describe to you one personal experience that will not be out of place in the archives of this club. My only trip over the actual North Pole was by air. It was a thrill indeed, but nothing half as thrilling as a party I led in search of the ill-fated Morton expedition. You all remember Captain Robert Morton, I suppose?
Oh, yes. Yes. He went in the Arctic many years ago and never came back.
That's right. He was lost in an ice floe. Never seen again.
Now, that's correct. Bob Morton had been my friend. At the time, I tried to dissuade him from attempting an Arctic expedition. He had an inadequate steamer, and science had not made the progress in those days that it has today in assisting the pioneer. There was no radio and no dependable base of supplies. But Morton was not to be stopped. He sailed into the uncharted polar seas. And that was the last the world heard of him.
That was quite a number of years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, about 30. After Morton had been given up for lost, I succeeded in organizing a relief expedition. And after the usual delays, my party set sail for the frozen north.
Did you have any idea where Morton had gone after he was last heard from?
Only the vague notion that he was attempting to reach Patrick Island, a little known point of land usually blocked by ice floes. We headed in that general direction and finally reached the ice barrier that meant the limit of navigation. Nothing but a trackless waste of ice from that point on. I judged that Morton must have found another means of getting his ship further toward the pole. Probably he'd struck more to the east. So I organized a land party, if I may call it that, and leaving 8 men on the boat, the rest of us started out across the frozen expanse of ice and snow. We experienced no unusual difficulties at first and covered a good many miles in 4 days, leaving food and extra clothing buried at designated points in case we had to fight our way back.
That must have been a thrill.
It was indeed. But a week after leaving the boat, it became a bit more of a thrill than I bargained for.
It was calm?
Yes. An Arctic blizzard of the worst kind. In my party were McGee, my lieutenant, 3 other white men, and several Eskimos. In order to cover a wider expanse of territory, McGee and I separated from the others and worked perhaps 2 to 4 miles to the east. With just the 2 of us and the team of husky dogs, we were taking a long chance. And the break of the luck hit us at the wrong moment. This Arctic blizzard came up. The snow began in flurries and then finally in literal sheets, so that it was impossible to see more than 6 feet ahead. We lost our bearings in less than a minute of this battling with the elements. The wind was howling. We had to shout to make ourselves heard as we stumbled and plunged on and on.
Back to the rest of the
I think that's our best chance.
We ought to locate them in less than an hour.
That looks like something ahead of us.
Where? Which way?
No, more to your left. I don't see it, too.
Like something's moving. I can't make it out.
Hello there!
The seals! They're seals, not men.
Then we must be near open water.
Oh, impossible! We're 4 days inside the ice barrier.
There must be open water, or the seals wouldn't be here.
Great Scott! Look! Look there!
Hold up there! Where's the rifle?
It's on the pack! Stop! Stop the jeep!
The dogs are running! All of them!
Oh, stop them!
They smell the bears. They're afraid.
There goes our rifles and supplies.
No way to stop them now.
Those bears are between us and the rest of the party. We have to go around them. Let's head off to the right.
I think they're running after us. Great Scott.
There must be 20 of them. Run for it.
Head to that bridge ahead of us. Get out of their sight.
Here comes a whole lot of them. Faster, man, faster.
Look, there's a second ridge of ice. Let's get behind that.
Right you are. Sorry, bears. This is just a flying visit.
They're not satisfied.
I don't think they'll follow us now. The polar bear is not a man killer unless cornered.
Hey, look. Look there.
What? Why, a ship. A boat.
But it's not our boat.
No, it's Morton. It's the Morton expedition. We're safe.
Hello. Hello, Morton. Hello. Come on, let's make it faster, Hale.
No. Wait. Look. See anything clear about that boat?
Why, yes. Yes, it's off keel.
It's trapped. Icebound.
And there's nobody on it.
It's been jammed in the ice. It's a mere skeleton of a boat. Morton must have abandoned it.
He must have tried to go over the ice.
It's tripped. Here, climb on the deck. Yes, the storms have beaten it to ribbons. No wonder Morton left it.
Why, look.
Abandoned. November 8th, 1902. R.M. That's it.
Yes. What's that?
Ice. The ice floe is closing in on this boat. It'll be ground to splinters.
Why, stand for? It'll break up any minute. Let's get off quick.
The ice has done its work. This won't last another 5 minutes in this storm. It'll be fast kindling.
No good for us. We can't stay here.
If Morton left it, so must we. It means the ice barrier again. We'll have to risk it. There's stormed everything.
Oh, if we only had the dog team.
Look back. There's a sight for you.
Yes, the whole ship is being crushed a bit. The ice floe is driving right over it.
Come on, baby. Come on. Not a minute to wait.
No.
We must use every ounce of strength to get back to our own boat. Get out before we do a lot in the Arctic. The icebound means death. It's a race for the elements.
Thing. That would have been just too much for me.
Not for me. Give me the jungle. That's something I never expect to see.
But what about Robert Morton? You found his ship. Did you find any trace of him?
Not a bit. All I can believe is that when he abandoned the doomed ship, he must have gone over the ice in the hope of reaching Patrick Island. He never got there. And I can only say that he must have perished in a storm similar to that which McGee and I battled for our lives.
Did you find the remainder of your party?
Only a few. Most of the men were unable to withstand the storm. Only about half of the land expedition got back to the ship. And that, I am afraid, is the fate that overtook Robert Morton and his entire party.
But at least your attempt was not in vain. You found Morton's boat.
Yes. Found it and saw it crushed like an eggshell by the thousands of tons of ice. And that, gentlemen, was to me one of the most thrilling experiences of my career. Even more so than actually flying over the pole. But if I had not encountered that storm and the polar bears, I would never have found Morton's ill-fated boat and seen it go to pieces. It actually seemed that fate was staging the last act of Morton's tragedy for me.
Well, gentlemen, I know that Hale's story has given you a flavor of the Arctic. Next time, I'll try to find one of you who's been in the heart of the tropics. By George, Granger, you're just the man.
Yes,
we're
counting on you, Granger.
March on, men in the south cold. March on, hear the bones go cold. Their God is mammon. these men, for gold they gamble lies, but then, oh, the devil cares for them, these sovereigns.
As they march on, march on for gold. March on, march on, men in search of gold.
But they are hoping that you will sit in on the next one of their popular meetings and hear another tale of strange adventures in strange lands.